Just so we can hear your hero story.
Huh?
You said you saved the lives of at least three people?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Definitely.
Is there a story to it?
Well, I don't know if it's a story or not.
We'll start telling it and we'll see. Life. Was that in the mines, or?
Oh, one possibly, two possibly one there.
Yeah.
But when I was 8 years old, I was down to my aunt's there in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, he was a toddler. He was about three, I think. And he had a doll buggy he'd push around. And I said to my aunt, I said, does he play with dolls? She said, heavens no, that's his truck. And he'd push it and make a noise, you know.
That was his truck, huh?
I was out there and he went over there. There was a stream of water. It was about, oh, as wide as this table, and it was running, oh, maybe 6-7 inches deep, maybe 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it run past his their place. And his neighbor had a wood bridge over it.
Hmm.
The bridge was about 12 feet wide and about 5 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out there playing on that bridge, and I went out there and was watching him, and he was backing it up, and on the end of the bridge you had a 2x4 nailed along the edge to hold the edges, you know, the straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he backed into that. His heels that, and I went that, and he went over, and he was under that bridge just that quick.
Wow.
And just about that time, my aunt, she come out and see what was going on, and I hollered at her and told her, get us under the bridge. And she didn't quite tell what I said, and she was hurrying out there, and I ran to the lower end of the bridge and got on my belly, and I was reaching back under there as far as I could, and finally I touched his shoe, and I pulled him out.
Just by the shoe, huh?
Yeah. Just at that time, a fellow was riding by on a horse, a young fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he seen what was going on, and he slipped off that horse and lifted him out of the ditch.
Mm.
And just about that time, why, he just got him out of the ditch. My aunt got out there, and he was unconscious. And she took him, and she was thanking this fella. He said, lady, don't thank me. It was this kid that got him out.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me. And about that time, he opened his eyes and looked at her, and he says, Mama. And Hilly was all right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I was the only person that knew he was under there.
Wow.
The other time, I don't know, I was either 7, 8, or 9, and my older brother had a friend, and this friend came to here to see him one time, and he wasn't home, and I was sitting out there on the ditch bank on my side of the street, and he just come out to go home. He said, I said to him, wish I could climb that tree. There were some big old cottonwood trees across the street on the ditch. He said, I'll show you how to climb them trees. And he went over and he went just as shiny and up this tree and power lines run through it.
Oh.
And he hit that power line and next thing I knew, they was coming head first down in that ditch and it had a stream of water in it. And he was unconscious. And I run across the road and pulled him out of the ditch.
How old were you then?
I don't know. I was about 7 or 8 or 9.
About the same age, huh?
Yeah. And he would be about 8 years older than me.
Oh, wow. That probably wasn't easy to pull him out of that ditch then.
Well, you do what you have to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I got him out. He laid there and he laid there and he laid there. And I didn't know what to do next. Finally, he started to move and raised up and blinked his eyes and looked around and got up and went home. Of course, his clothes was wet.
But he was okay,
I guess his
huh?
His mother, I guess, asked him what happened. And he told him, and a couple days later, his dad come down and thank me for saving his life.
Wow. Wow. So you're 8 years old and you're going around saving people's lives, huh?
When I was up to the mine there. My work partner, he was off work. He missed a day and they sent me down on another level to help them. Crew down there, and went down there and helped them, and they got the round drilled and got them loaded and ready to blast, and then they went up the doghouse to blasting time. They all blasted about the same times on account of the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Just as they end of the shift, and this one fella, he said, well, it's time to blast. It's all going. I says, well, you ain't going lower, are you? And he says, no. He says, we go alone down here. I said, you guys are crazy. I said, wait a minute, I'll go with you. And we had carbide lights. And I freshened up my light, went with him, and he had to climb up a ladder about 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was timbered in there. And he went in there and he got the round lit, but he's lamp back on his hat, and he ducked under a timber. His hat hit that and fell off and fell down on the track where I was, and his lamp went out.
Mm.
What do you think he did on it? It's total blackness. You just can't see a thing. And he could see from my light, and I picked his light up and relit it in his hat, and he got down out of it of my light.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and I said, Gub, tell these guys what happened today. And he told them.
Not so.
I kind of guess it was kind of foolish for one the guy to go spit them rounds alone. I've done it, but I've had two lamps. See, sometimes you spit it in there, hold the lamp to the powder, and it spits out, and it'd blow the lamp out. I've seen it do that when there's two of us together.
That's not good if you're left in the dark down there, is it? That's not good if you're left in the dark down in the mines.
Well, it's just total darkness. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
There's just absolutely no light. Only what you carry.
How long did you work in the mines?
Oh, I guess 14, 15 years.
And that was mostly coal?
No.
That you were mining?
Mostly lead and zinc.
Lead and zinc?
Silver.
And silver.
Cork City was lead and zinc. I worked down the coal mines for about 15 months.
And that's when you were living in Helper?
Yeah.
But Park City, it was lead and zinc, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Another time, up in the mine, I was running number 6 hoist. And Herb Gines and his son, they was on the mechanic crew, and they went down to maintain the pumps, and I don't know how there's a sump below there, how much water it had in it, I didn't know. And he rang me the 2 bells to lower, and I lowered him down, and lowered it, and lowered it, and no more bells to stop me, and finally, I could tell that it was going in the water. The weight was getting lighter down there, so I stopped it. And after I stopped it, why, I didn't dare move it again. You know? And I sat there and waited for more signals, and none come. Finally, the telephone rang.
What are you looking for?
I answered it. And it was Harvey, and he says, bring it back up to the station. I said, what's the trouble? And he says, when I pulled the rope the last time to lower you, the rope broke. He had no other way to contact me. He said, I'm sure glad you stopped that when you did. We was in water to our knees.
Oh, man.
If you'd have kept going, they'd have drowned down there, probably.
Probably. And Sam, he helped Harvey climb up through the bonnets on the cage. Dad was, it was hinged, they'd open that way, out that way. Had to be that way because the cable went up the middle of it. And he climbed up that shaft, I don't know, 35, 40 feet. On one set of timber, the timbers was 5 feet apart. And they had a hanging rod between each one of them. About a 3/4-inch big steel bolt. And he pulled himself and climbed up there to get to the telephone.
And that's how he got to call you?
Yeah.
Wow. You've had many adventures down there.
Quite a few.
So I was going to ask you something else. How did you meet Grandma? Tell us that story.
Well, Dad had had a confectioner and he sold it to my oldest brother. And there was a lady there. She was working for my brother. And I went in there to get a soda one day, and she says, won't you get kind of lonesome? And I said, well, yes. And she says, there's a widow there in my ward about your age. And she... And I says, who is it? And she told me it's Helen Jenkins. And I knew she'd buried your grandfather, and your grandfather was killed in that airplane crash.
Did you know him before that? Did you know Floyd?
I knew him, yeah. I knew him.
You knew the Jenkins family.
Yeah. He had the prettiest red hair you ever saw.
Mm.
Is that pretty?
But anyway, I run into your Grandma Jenkins one time. And
is that Sylvia?
Yeah. Yeah, they only lived through their block from me. And I asked him, I says, I'd like to meet your down there. So she said, we'll go down and meet her. That's how I met her.
So you met her through her deceased husband's mother. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it is. But this here Mrs. Carlisle, she recommended that I ought to go see her.
She was the one that was down in the confectionery?
Yeah.
Which Carlisle was that? Florence? Who was it?
Florence?
Can't hear you.
Which Carlisle?
Florence.
Florence Carlisle.
She's Vern Price's sister.
Tell us again about that driver's license.
Not the driver's license.
Well, I asked you earlier, how long?
I just told you. No, I had a new worry.
A new worry. Because your license is going to expire.
Yeah, driver's license will expire in about a year and a half.
That's in 2017 on your birthday. And you'll be how old?
99.
So what's the worry?
I won't renew it.
You won't renew it?
Hey, ain't that something? They probably just laugh at me.
Well, Uncle Don, he took the written test 5 times. He flunked it 3 times on the computer and once on paper, and then he finally passed it.
This is Uncle Don Hicken.
Yeah, he failed the driving test.
At 100.
So they didn't renew his license at 100?
Well, he failed the driving part.
Or 101.
I think it was 101.
101? He failed the driving part.
Think you can pass the test, Grandpa?
Huh?
You think you can pass the test?
I think I passed the driving test.
Yeah? And the written test?
I don't know. They never gave me one the last time.
I asked you earlier how long you've been driving.
Started when I was 12.
12?
Yeah.
But they didn't require a license back then, huh?
No. See, I was born in 1918. And,
So you'd have been 12 in 1930?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
And they had cars back then?
Well, Daddy. He bought a, I think it was 1928 Graham Page.
Mm.
And my brother, oldest brother, he wore that out running down the pro to see his girlfriend. And then Dad bought a Studebaker.
Mm-hmm.
I never did drive the Graham, but I drove the Studebaker. And when he bought the Studebaker, he just kept the old Studebaker he had. Well, he had it all the time. It was an old open touring car.
Mm-hmm.
And my older brothers, they was driving it. They called it Flying Mar.
Mm.
They had me start driving on it.
When you were 12.
My older brothers, in fact, my oldest brother, he taught me more about driving than anything. And I'll tell you, they was tough to drive in them days, too.
Yeah.
It was work. They're not engineered the same now, are they?
Yeah, they old straight gear transmissions and everything like that.
No power steering.
They were
no power anything.
No power. Even the car didn't have much power.
Yeah.
They used to go up Lake Creek in it, and there was a hill up in there that all the passengers would get out and push to get it to go. It looked there.
Yeah.
A daughter is a special miracle? Sit out in back of the shed there for years and years and years. And finally. And a kid around there stole a radiator off from it.
What do you think's changed the most over your lifetime?
Oh, everything's changed.
Everything.
Just about everything. Even people's changed.
Yeah.
Some people for the better and some for the worse.
Yeah, you get all kinds, don't you?
I remember Prohibition.
Yeah? What do you remember about that?
Well, the booze was against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they ought to bring it back.
Think they could get away with that now?
I think this here booze is the silliest thing in the world now. It causes more trouble than anything that I could comprehend even.
It's caused plenty of trouble, that's for sure.
It's the reason for a lot of households breaking up and everything like that. It's it's just one of the curses that put on man. Of course, he can resist it and not participate, but.
It is a choice, isn't it?
There's so many of them. He's a great hooked on it, and that's it.
Right. So you've got grandkids that are grandparents. You're 97 and a half, right?
Yeah,
are you counting halves?
Just about a half.
What advice would you have for young people just starting out their families?
Keep out of debt.
Keep out of debt.
Keep out of debt.
Oh, no, drop it.
That's something you've practiced, huh?
Yeah. I've been in debt, yes. But if you got save your money and get interest on it, why it's far better than paying interest.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's paying and somebody's earning.
Yeah. Even now. With interest as low as it is, I got more coming in every month than I got going out.
That's nice. That gives you some confidence, doesn't it?
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just wipes out about everything else. If I want, I can go get another snow thrower than the one I got.
Because yours broke down this morning, didn't it?
Yeah.
I had a puppy,
please.
It's a little puppy that. That's how puppy that.
Well, are you about ready for some pie?
Actually, I want to get a picture real quick.
I guess.
And Vicky wants a picture,
spread
too.
Spread you enough bowl.
You've shared some good stuff. I'll have to get this out again. So just to mark this is Reed Averett. Age 97 and a half, my grandpa, and we're recording this on Christmas Eve, 2015. Anything else you want to say, Grandpa, before we sign off?
Amen.
Well said.